everyone, and welcome back to the final episode of the year of Your Biggest Fangirl. I am one of your co-hosts, Victoria Malle.
And I am your other host, Kristen Chavez. Can you believe it's the end of the year already?
No. I hate how also everyone's been like, it's the end of the decade. I'm just like, shut up. Shut up. No. Bye. I feel like this year has been crazy and insane for all sorts of wonderful, wacky reasons. And so Kristen and I thought it was a good idea to take an episode where it's just the two of us and just kind of recap and reflect on everything like we did last year.
For sure. It's definitely been, I think, a big year for everyone. And I know I've had like some great fangirling moments and just moments on this podcast where we've really been able to like discuss some really interesting issues. I know I have learned a lot. Or even just like learning about new works or new comic books and things like that. I think over time I'm becoming even more tuned in to like different fandom news and who's involved and creators and things like that. And I think that's been a really valuable part of this podcast in my opinion, just personally.
For sure. I would totally agree. And I say like this year, I feel like we really settled into being more of, I don't want to say the word expert doesn't feel accurate. I think we settled into owning like my knowledge and my experience in this field. And that was mostly through like the fact that we have been able to have so many amazing people on this podcast with such a wide variety of perspectives that I feel like my confidence has grown and being a fangirl and someone who likes to talk about fangirling on an intellectual level. So there's just been kind of like a kind of more of like an ownership of that identity and like feeling like I am somewhat of an authority on that identity this year. Right. And just being proud and taking stock of like the fact that we've done over 50 episodes of this podcast and just knowing that we've put in like the blood, sweat, and tears with this platform. Oh my God. But was there anything this year, Kristen, that was a major kind of fandom highlight for you? We're going to talk about, we each are going to share like a really fun fangirling story that we didn't have time for at all in our programming this year later in the episode, but kind of what were like the major media moments for you this year? Oh, yeah. Even though I wasn't there, I remember you telling me about just the electricity and the magic of having a shared experience with so many people who are fans like you. And I think that the release of Rise of Skywalker will be like definitely the culmination of like fandom events of this year and like possibly of this decade. Because that's obviously something that happened throughout this decade that was insane. Having a new Star Wars trilogy and having a woman at its center was amazing. It's funny, I have friends who have told me that they're like, Force Awakens is just A New Hope. And I'm like, yeah, and? That's wonderful. Like, there's nothing wrong.
And A New Hope was fantastic. What are you talking about?
What's wrong with that? And I said, yeah, and that's amazing that there's a generation generations upon generations of little girls now who are going to grow up with Rey. Just like everyone got to grow up with Luke, now you can grow up with Rey and Luke. And so I think that's wonderful. And also the fact that we had two standalone superhero female films was awesome, with Captain Marvel and Wonder Woman. Captain Marvel made $1 billion and Wonder Woman got pretty darn close. And then the Black Widow trailer came out recently, and the fact that this seems to keep going and that like the trends are increasing with like strong, powerful women is something that is so exciting. Because I remember at the start of this decade, like if we're going to go into Marvel, and nothing against her, she became a hero completely in her own right, but like we had Pepper Potts. And she was amazing. And I think she was brilliant. But like, just kind of thinking of where like female superheroes were at the beginning of this decade and how it's evolved is insane.
Yeah, it's kind of sad that it all had to come like in one decade. Now is when we're starting to get female characters. I wish we could have said this 20 years ago. We did not have a podcast 20 years ago, but that's beside the point. But it is kind of interesting that it's like, oh, we had like our first female superhero film, but now we're getting a little bit more. Hopefully this is a sign of better things to come, that this will just be as normal. In a way, it's almost like, it's sad that we have to point that out, but I think it is hopefully a sign of good things to come for the next decade for us to have even more.
The other big thing that I think happened over the past decade in the media, especially with the MCU, I think people realized how lucrative fans were. And I know that sounds exploitative, but sadly, like money talks. And so I think finally, like major studios and corporations like realized the power of this enthusiasm. And we have brands like Her Universe. To me, I feel like we have such a long way to go with shame, especially for women, like shame around fandom. But I think fans now can like wear their badge of like their fandom with more pride. And we've also in turn kind of realized the power we have with media we support.
I mean, you see that. I feel like, Kickstarter and those sorts of crowdfunding platforms, I don't think they've been around that long. Like I remember my first internship in LA was with which I was here. And that was like one of the first GoFundMe, Kickstarter films supported by fans. And so I think that, like you said, it's really become quite a powerful tool. I do think that fans have kind of recognized that power. I mean, you see that Timeless was able to come back for like just two more episodes. First, they were able to come back for a second season, and then two finale episodes. The release of the Snyder Cut, that has still been ongoing. Whether or not it might go anywhere, who knows? But I think fans recognize the power that they have. I think, like fandom, with great power comes great responsibility. So I think you also need to recognize some of the negative things that may come out of that as well, and needing to recognize that it's like what you say might hurt, and needing to be aware of that.
Right. I just think of like Game of Thrones too. And not that we're, that was something I jumped on the fandom bandwagon for this year, because I made friends who were very into Game of Thrones. And I was like, sure.
I couldn't get into Game of Thrones, but I really got into people's conversations the day after each episode. Like I was super into that.
Well, it just became like these friends with their really dope Game of Thrones themed parties. So I would go along with it. My friend had this crazy Game of Thrones themed birthday party, and I went as Marjorie Tyrell. And at one point I was like, I'm Margaret Tyrell. And my friend would be like, be quiet. Just like keep drinking your themed drink and like be quiet. That was like something nice to realize, that sometimes with fandom, you can just enjoy it casually. It does not have to consume your life. But my original point, and I'm so sorry that I got very off topic briefly, was the thing is like with social media and how social media has grown like this. And we've talked about this before on the podcast, how like the line and the boundary between creator and consumer is more transparent. And now the creator can look back at the fan base more. They can see kind of what's going on. And in some ways that's great. But in a lot of ways, when like, if you don't like something, like it's not their responsibility or their duty to make something exactly the way you would like. And then I know there's like all these like other reasons why people didn't think the finale of Game of Thrones was good, or it wasn't satisfying to them. And I'm not saying that you're not entitled to your opinion, but like there's a very fine line between having your opinion and then being like, HBO, redo it.
Talking about this online for something as major as like Game of Thrones or Star Wars, and just engage with it casually. Like, I think of my parents. They watch Game of Thrones every week, and they didn't both have, like, the immediate reaction of, I hated the ending. That was terrible. What were they thinking? But then they're like, you know what? We rewatched the season, and it was pretty good. We liked it. It wasn't the way that we expected, but they're also not into social media, so it's one of those things that there's still a much larger audience that we're kind of, in some ways, listening.
No, that's a great point. And I also think this year in particular was very interesting because there was a lot of endings, like Game of Thrones. You know, we're coming in on a Star Wars finale, obviously Endgame. It is really interesting that the end of the decade. And then we have like planted seeds for like new things to begin. This year felt like a lot of stuff was wrapping up.
Speaking of that, I don't want to forget this point. What was your finest moment of fangirling this year?
My finest moment of fangirling that didn't make the podcast, because I feel like a lot of my finest moments were on this podcast, to be honest. And again, not a big Supernatural fan, but having Lynn on, huge. Listen to episode 48 with Dr. Lynn Zuberness if you do nothing else.
Talk about finales.
We made a list when we were developing this podcast of dream guests, and Lynn and Melissa Anelli were both on them. A lot of the moments happened on the podcast, but one fun moment that never really found a home in one of the episodes, again, because we always want to put the focus on our guest, is a smaller like subsect of what my TED talk would be, which is manifestation is real. This actually starts last year and then it culminates this year. So because of Kristen and this podcast, I got very tardily on the train for Hamilton. I was like, I love Hamilton. And everyone's like, yes, where have you been? I particularly became very, very obsessed with David Diggs and what a brilliant, just truly brilliant artist he is. And he's very handsome, but he's a truly brilliant artist. If you guys haven't seen his film Blindspotting, you should totally watch it. It's brilliant. So I was super passionate about him and trying to find a way naturally, because what I do at my job is like, how can I work with this person? And so we actually had a script that would be a good fit for him to star in. And then him and his creative partner, Raphael Cassell, they could maybe like rewrite it or collaborate on it. And so it was a very special morning in October 2018 where I was feeling very resentful and tired and reckless. And I called the agent and pitched the script to Raphael and David's representation. And he was like, yeah, send it over. They passed on it, which for me, the victory was making the call. So that was amazing. And just like, again, taking this passion to profession and trying to find a way in which they can intersect. Because I also had tried to bring David in for a meeting and he was doing Snowpiercer and it just never happened. And so like, I'd kind of like surrendered on that front. Fast forward a couple months, I'm at a bar in Hollywood. It's like 11 o'clock on a Tuesday night and I see the hair. And I just grab my friend's hand. I'm like, oh my God, that's David Diggs. And he doesn't know who it is. I'm like, how do you not know who this man is?
He's a god who walks among men.
He's literally a god among men. And so he was like, okay. Oh, I was becoming friendly with the owners of this bar, but I didn't really know them that well. But I grabbed one of the owners. I was like, oh, I can't believe there's an OBC of Hamilton here. And she was like, yeah. I'm friends with his girlfriend. Like I've known her for forever. And I was like, of course you have. Checks out. Me and my friend Kevin, like, weirdly kind of attached ourselves to her and followed her to where she was hanging out with that group. And we were all singing because it's a piano bar. And then Emmy, who is David Diggs' girlfriend at the time of this recording, I believe, she talks to the owner of the bar and she's like, oh my gosh, I love this place. And it's so fun. And it was very meta because I had Hamilton playing in my head while I was trying to pluck up the courage to talk to the cast of Hamilton. And I was like, I'm not throwing away my shot. And I was like, hi, yes, it is. It's amazing. Isn't it great? Like, we were here last week for burlesque. It was so fun. And she's like, oh yeah. And then I just like stuck out my hand. Hi, I'm Victoria. And she's like, hi, I'm Emmy. She was Angelica on tour. And she was also in the ensemble of the original Broadway cast. And she's also number three on Umbrella Academy. And she's like, hi, I'm Emmy. I was like, hi. And then it was Oak, who plays Hercules Mulligan, and James Madison. He's like, hi, I'm Oak. I was like, hi, I'm Victoria. And I turned and he's like, hi, I'm David. And I was like, hi, I'm Victoria. This is just to say, I feel like being a fangirl, like I have gotten way better at fangirling, but like this was not my best moment. I think because I had been doing a lot of like visualization of meeting him in a professional context, hopefully, but I was not ready for a social context. So naturally I made it about work and I was just like, hi, I don't know if you remember, this is weird, but I sent you a script. He did remember it. And I had a very like stilted conversation with him, but he was so lovely and so nice. And then I floated home on a cloud. So that's my fun little like celeb encounter story of 2019, because it was pretty wild. But it's just crazy. Like, if something I discovered on this podcast, I was like totally late to the game. I think the takeaway from the story is Stefy Diggs is like a lovely human being. He's very handsome.
And I'm glad we've gotten that confirmed.
Yes. The other takeaway of the story is like, I think with things you're passionate about, take a risk, and it might not pan out like the way you want it to. But usually if you do it with good intentions and you work hard, then you'll reap the benefits in another way. And it emboldened me to really go after actors I was passionate about to work with my company this year.
No, and that's fantastic, because I just love that one of our constant themes on this podcast is bringing your passion into your profession. And that's something that, like, I don't necessarily get to do as much in higher ed, but I'm glad that when they do intersect. I love when we talk to academics like Carolyn Einberg or Lynn this year. But I also kind of had that opportunity to revisit the Jane Austen Power Program. Last year, we had interviewed Inger Brody and Jenny Avella from the program that's run at UNC. And, you know, it's this academic Jane Austen conference celebration symposium. And it was always such a cool concept. It was something that I always enjoyed. And it's something that I hadn't ever featured as a communication specialist at UNC as an employee. And so knowing that I had spoken with them last year for this podcast, and knowing that we hadn't ever featured them, you know, in the college's standpoint, I pitched it to my boss and my editors. I was like, could we visit the story? It's been, you know, they've been doing this for years. It's part of the English department. It's well attended. It's successful. I'm like, and it's also just really fun. It's something that I'm interested in doing. So I pitched this story in this video, and it was a really exciting time to kind of bring the two together. I got to attend almost like 4 days of this symposium and just be absorbed in it and the Regency Ball, which was amazing. I was like, I just want to go to the ball.
It's all I've ever wanted.
I was like, I just want to go to the ball, but I'll make a video and write a story and take photos, but I just want to go to the ball. But it was just so cool because, like, it was like the perfect intersection for me of like my job and like what I could like fangirl about. So it was really cool, and being able to like see Jenny again and talk to Dr. Brody and kind of just revel in the scholarship around Jane Austen and just how much these people are passionate about it. And it really just kind of bleeds into you.
Right. I love that story. You've never told me that story in like its full depth, that like you really led the charge on that. So I'm kind of angry that you've been sleeping on it, but that's fine. Quick six. But I also love, too, is something I specifically love about that program, and that it makes me so thrilled that you championed it, is that I think they were also so great about showing that scholarship can be super fun.
Yes.
It's not just people sitting in a dusty room, like talking about a book. It's episode 19, if you guys want to go back and listen, hear it from the horse's mouths. But they talk about all these different things, like in all the different ways they have learned to celebrate Jane and her work with the ball and these like trivia night and bar crawls. It's like so much fun. I think that's great. And that's something we have also strived to do. We want to talk about the real stuff and things that we find important in like this fandom, specifically female fandom subculture, but that doesn't mean we can't have fun doing it and have moments where we're like, oh my God, I'm going to defeat Diggs at a brewer. Like, or I got to go to the bar.
I just want to go to the ball. Oh, that's perfect. And of course, like from Kristen's working standpoint, it's also like it encourages and shows like the value of public scholarship, public humanities, and that analyzing the arts and the humanities, they have value to a wider purpose. And I think that's, like you said, that, you know, it's very similar to kind of that fandom you don't necessarily need to write it off. Like, there is value in discussing this. It does have a wider intellectual value, whether it's discussing representation or discussing even just its artistic merits. That's all very important.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like we've done a good recap of like highlights throughout the year and kind of trends throughout the decade in the year that we've seen. Let's take a moment to look forward. What are you most looking forward to in like the new decade as like from a fandom perspective?
I hope that we're a bit more at a social point where we see more women on screen and behind the camera or behind the works. And it's certainly not perfect and it's not where it should be, but I'm hoping that this will continue. Get an Ahsoka movie? I have been asking that for years. Can we make
Yeah. The things I'm looking forward to echo your lovely point about more women on screen, more women's stories being told, especially with Marvel. I'm so excited for Thor: Love and Thunder. Like, that's going to be so much fun. I love Taika Waititi with every fiber of my being. He's going to do such an amazing job with that storyline, which I started reading this year. And then I'm also so excited for the Loki series, because that's directed by a woman, Kate Herron, who is young and cool and smart. It really, really makes me feel hopeful, especially about Marvel, the fact that they gave arguably the most beloved character, one of the most beloved characters in the universe, like their standalone series, they gave it to a 31-year-old woman to direct. Not that she isn't well qualified, but again, she's fairly young in her career. I absolutely love that. Also, that was another highlight this year. I got to see Tom Hiddleston live.
Oh, that's right.
That was really cool. And I didn't stage door. And you can read all about it in my blog when not to go to the stage door on our website. And I do resent that a lot of my friends thought I was the woman masturbating in the audience.
For the record, I did not think that.
Thank you.
I sent you the article and was like, oh my God.
Yeah. Can you believe? And that's one thing I'm looking forward to manifest, that like fangirls don't get as bad of a rap. Like, 'cause I don't think that woman was a fangirl. I think she was something else. I think people are like, oh, she loves Tom Hiddleston. Was this her? And I'm just like, come on, y'all. We authored the 10 rules of fangirling, which is honestly all about having a respectful encounter with someone you admire. So I'm a little petty. I'm a little bitter. But I do feel hopeful for kind of the perception of fangirls to continue to change. We just saw the Wonder Woman trailer. I'm super excited for that. And to see her just come back to the screen in her gold, glorious armor. She can do no wrong. I'm super, super pumped for that.
Well, you had mentioned the Loki series, but also the Kenobi series. Ewan McGregor is coming back. Thank the Lord and the Force. But with Deborah Chow leading it, she's going to be heading it. And so that's super exciting. Of course, we've already seen some of her work on The Mandalorian. We haven't even touched Baby Yoda yet, which we probably should not. Otherwise, that'll be another like 7 hours. So we will not do that.
Yes, for sure. Also, you know what? I want to manifest for you, Kristen, because I realized in your blog that you've never seen a show on, like, a proper Broadway show or show on Broadway. That's happening.
That needs to change.
Sooner rather than later.
Although, to be fair, I did see Phantom of the Opera twice on West End when I was studying abroad in London. Because I was like, if I'm going to see any show, I need to see the Phantom of the Opera. I'm seeing it in its original theater, so I will take that. So far, West End, not yet Broadway, but hopefully.
Yes.
Well, I did love your point about the perception of fangirls to change as well, because not even just within fandom, but I think publicly, you know, we still have this level of shame. And I think even just like of fans in general, it was funny because I was watching this one video that was kind of poking fun, I think, at Star Wars fans, which like sometimes I love and I adore, because it was like, I think they were talking about how like Baby Yoda like has united the world, just everybody, including the Star Wars fans. And then it was like, it was the joke of the Star Wars fan being like, well, actually, that's not Baby Yoda. But it was a funny moment because you do, you know, as a fan, you may encounter those other fans. But then at one point, you know, as they were escorting him, Art, he was like, no, I need my inhaler. And I had like this instant of being slightly offended. I was like, fans don't have inhalers. Do we need to like stop that? And then I caught myself and I was like, I actually do carry an inhaler.
But I resent that nonetheless.
We can move on from some of these stereotypes, can't we?
Yeah, like I hope to see that people use fandom and their passion for something more as an asset than as something like that detracts from them in certain applicable circumstances in their life. So that's something I'm hoping to do more working in the field, is that you can be a fan and super passionate about someone, and that doesn't mean you can't collaborate with them as an artist meaningfully. If anything, it should make it more meaningfully because you know a lot about their work. I'm going to wind it down real quick. If I were to give like top 5 episodes that you should listen to of Your Biggest Fangirl over Christmas, I would say episode 31 with Peyton Reed. Kristen, we had the director of a Marvel Cinematic Universe film on our podcast. Do you remember?
I still can't believe that.
I was insane. I'd say episode 34 which was when we had Claudia Rabaza from AO3 on. That's a fascinating episode. And I think also very in line, if you guys responded to our discussion on taking fandom and people behind fandom, fan works more seriously, that's a great episode to tune into. I would say I loved our Captain Marvel episode. We had two. Ashley Robinson is one of the loves of my life, but also with Anissa Jabbar. That's an awesome one to listen to in the vein of like more representation and empowering women on screen. For sure, Dr. Lin. I had to cut a lot from that episode because I edited it and it was basically me like having therapy with her. It was basically her telling me that it's okay to like things. And then I'd say episode 50, which was part two of our LeakyCon coverage with Melissa and Ellie. She's so inspirational. Like, if you need some inspo, listen to episode 41 with Ashley.
Yeah, and follow her on her social media. Like, you'll get, like, all these spots of inspiration every day. And then I really liked our last episode with Ellie Kennedy from Orphan Black. So that was really cool. But it's, like, revisiting a show after it's finished and, like, how it can continue to live on and just hearing from these new platforms and these new forms of media that they can move on.
Yes. And part of the reason that we gave you these wonderful episodes to revisit or discover if you haven't checked them out yet is because we are taking an extended Christmas break. We are taking a hiatus in the new year. We're recharging our batteries and getting some sleep. So on the edge of this break, wanted to just spend some time with all of you one-on-one and thank you for all of your support. We also turned two this year, which was insane. Thank you all for your support of Your Vegas Fangirl. It means the world. Yes. And if you want to follow us on social media, you can follow us at Your Biggest Fangirl on Tumblr and YBFG Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I also want to circle back about yourbiggestfangirl.com. So on the weeks we don't have episodes, we have blog posts. This month, we have great guest blog posts about Star Wars. Our friend Ashley Cox just wrote an amazing post about what being a Star Wars fan means to her and also being newer to the franchise. And then next week, as y'all's Christmas present, we have a former podcast guest blogger, and BFF of Kristen coming back, Bethany Curl, to give you all the tips and tricks on conquering Galaxy's Edge. So definitely check out yourbiggestfangirl.com/blog and all of our blogs, because we also really use that space for trying to be resources. So we have self-care, we have the 10 rules of fangirling, we have a pre-convention checklist. We're trying to give you all these tools not to miss us too much. Bye, everyone.
Our theme song is California Lullaby Instrumental by Josh Woodward, used under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.